Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee meeting will come to order. Representative Pugh, can I have a motion on the minutes from May 16th?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the minutes for May 16th, 2016.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes from May 16th, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. With that, Representative Halverson, we have House File 2727.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee. I would like to move House File 2727 be re-referred to State Government Finance. Is that the correct motion?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House File 2727 is unique. It's a constitutional amendment aimed at unreported expenditures in campaigns in Minnesota. Currently, the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, Section 7, Article 9, states that campaigns must disclose expenditures for or against a candidate. That is in our state constitution. We know that Minnesota law has a very large loophole when it comes to disclosure on campaigns, and we are behind dozens of other states when it comes to requiring campaign disclosure. Currently, Minnesota law requires a very high expectation when it comes to what it means to produce ads for or against a candidate. And essentially, they rely on what's called the magic words test. Your ad must say vote for or vote against a candidate in order to be considered campaign material and therefore subject to Minnesota's campaign disclosure laws. In the last several years, this loophole has been exploited to a great degree in the wake of the Citizens United campaign, which has allowed for unlimited amounts of money to be spent in campaigns. And numerous nonprofit, quote-unquote nonprofit groups have popped up with the express purpose of influencing elections. Issue advocacy is certainly a legitimate form of communication. Lots of groups do it, and they communicate directly with their members about issues that are happening at the Capitol, issues that are important to them, to their membership. They very often can communicate to the public at large about issues that are happening at the Capitol, and that is a very legitimate form of communication. However, this technique is often being used to disguise express advocacy. And if you hold up any of these ads that don't necessarily say vote for or vote against, and you say to somebody, and I've done this with groups, high school students and others, what is this? They will say it's a campaign ad. And they see it because it names a candidate, has a picture of a candidate, and it doesn't say vote for or vote against, but it clearly takes a position for or against a candidate. Candidate X is right because, candidate X is wrong because. And instead of saying vote for or vote against, it says give them a call. And frankly, the public isn't fooled. And this is such a common technique, it actually has a nickname. They're called sham ads, and that disguises expressed advocacy. And they're meant to influence an election. They're clearly meant to influence an election, particularly when they are targeted to specific districts. They're not statewide, and when they are very careful in avoiding the magic words. To voters, these sham ads are campaign ads. And in this era of record campaign spending, this post-Citizens United world that we live in, Minnesota voters want to know, and they deserve to know, who is paying money to influence our elections. This is about the integrity of our campaigns and our elections. And we've seen a House race in the last election where nearly $1 million was spent and recorded. That number is shocking in and of itself. However, add in the unrecorded ads that were placed in that district, and that money is shocking to the public, and it's frankly shocking to me. The fact that folks can hide behind the guise of issues when they clearly are identifying a candidate, when their ads are being placed in close proximity to an election, and when they're targeted only in these swing districts, These influencers are not advocating on behalf of an issue. In addition, they're often not from our own communities. I say often, that's actually kind of being generous. They're really not. A lot of these issue ads are being placed from outside our communities that we are running to represent and outside the state of Minnesota. This kind of flood of advertising diminishes the voices of our communities. It diminishes the voices of our citizens. And it drowns out conversation about what's really important to the grassroots of our communities, the people that we are running to represent. Minnesotans know that that's unacceptable, and that's why we're here today. And Minnesotans of all political stripes are clear about what they want. They want to know who is spending the millions of dollars to influence our elections in Minnesota. Political parties and candidates are barred from taking corporate donations, but these nonprofits face no such restrictions. And in addition to that, these corporations and other advocacy groups are allowed to hide behind the guise of issue advocacy. We as a legislature need to listen to our constituents. We need to listen to the people of Minnesota and say no more. You deserve to know. You deserve to know at least as much as people in, 40 some other states that have legislated disclosure on issue advocacy. So House File 27 is proposing a constitutional amendment. It has some very specific requirements with regard to what needs to be disclosed so that we can identify it as issue advocacy. It needs to be made within reasonable proximity to an election, and the legislature, it would be up to the legislature to decide what that reasonable proximity would be. It would use the words or phrases of express advocacy, and in addition, it would, when taken as a whole, including the proximity to the election, would not be susceptible to other interpretations other than that's issue advocacy. In addition, the legislature has guidance in the proposed constitution about it groups that communicate with their membership and what they would have to disclose with regard to their membership. And the legislature could put additional parameters around that, because protecting speech of groups that communicate with and for their members is an important part of this amendment. And with that, Mr. Chair, we can take testifiers.
First on the list, we have Mr. Beck. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is George Beck. I'm a retired administrative law judge and a former chair of the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. I'm speaking just on my own behalf today, but I should note that when I was on the board, it twice voted to recommend the passage of disclosure legislation to the legislature, and those votes, both votes, were unanimous. Despite past legislative attempts to require disclosure, the public remains in the dark about the financing of major independent advertising campaigns that influence Minnesota elections. Our squeaky clean Minnesota lags behind at least 17 other states and the federal government. They require full disclosure of contributions supporting the so-called issue ads that do not use express words of advocacy, such as vote for. In a democracy, voters need to know who is supporting the candidates. It's an important factor in deciding how to vote. The Citizens United Court agreed with that. They recognized that disclosure enables voters, in their own words, to make informed decisions and give proper weight to different speakers and messages. Polls indicate that over 80% of voters support full disclosure, including a majority of Republicans. This issue is fundamental to a healthy democracy. This is a very serious issue. Are we going to avoid secret control of our elections by wealthy interests? But obviously, it's been difficult to deal with legislatively. So what I'm asking is that this committee let the people of Minnesota have a vote this fall on whether or not all contributions should be disclosed. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have someone from the League of Women Voters.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you for having me this morning. I'm Susan Sheridan Tucker, Executive Director for League of Women Voters, Minnesota. Despite Minnesota's strong culture of civic engagement, the systems that fuel Minnesota's democratic processes are in need of attention. The influence of money in politics represents a threat to the health of our democracy in Minnesota and nationally. For decades, the League has worked to ensure that citizen participation in the political process is not drowned out by special interests and big money donors. Through our process of study and consensus, our position is that methods of financing political campaigns should ensure the public's right to know, combat corruption and undue influence, enable candidates to compete more equitably for public office, and allow maximum citizen participation in the political process. We know the public overwhelmingly supports reform, and if the only way in which we can begin to stop the sale of our democracy is through a constitutional amendment, then the people will finally get a chance to express their wishes. The League believes that public financing is the best long-term solution to getting big money out of politics. States like Washington, Connecticut, and Maine have had success in public financing with state house and statewide elections. And ultimately, we'd like to see that be adopted throughout the country. But here in Minnesota, the bill that is before you now doesn't even begin to address the issues revolving around the huge amount of money or types of contributions in our elections. It's just asking that we identify who is funding electioneering materials and the contribution amounts. It does nothing to address the flow of money. This is a relatively minor aspect of reforming our campaign systems, and yet here we are again in 2016 testifying on behalf of a disclosure bill that's been before various committees for many years, and now having to go as far as proposing a constitutional amendment reflects the reluctance of our elected legislators on both sides of the aisle from coming to terms with the negative influence of money in our political process. Since the Supreme Court's ruling of Citizens United in 2010, we have seen increased efforts of special interests infiltrating not only national races, but state and even municipal races. While this decision essentially opened up the floodgates for money to flow into campaigns, by an overwhelmingly 8-1 vote, the justices upheld the constitutionality of and need for disclosure requirements for outside groups making expenditures to influence federal elections. The court stated the First Amendment protects political speech and disclosure permits citizens and shareholders to react to the speech of corporate entities in a proper way. This transparency enables the electorate to make informed decisions and give proper weight to different speakers and messages. Currently, Minnesota law does little to protect our citizens and candidates from the bombardment of dark money and these carefully crafted messages that are synonymous with undisclosed special interest groups. By limiting disclosure of independent expenditures to communications using the magic word of express advocacy, Minnesota law does not ensure the public's right to know or allow candidates to compete equitably. As many of you know firsthand, groups can easily communicate their messages without using the magic words of express advocacy. As we've testified in the past, Minnesota received an F from the National Institute on Money and State Politics in its evaluations on disclosure laws for independent spending in the 50 states, because Minnesota does not require disclosure of electioneering communications. They stated determining how much money is spent for elections to state office remains elusive when a state does not require full disclosure of both forms of independent spending, express advocacy and electioneering communications. Minnesota prides itself in high voter turnout, leading the nation for many years. But in 2014, we dropped to number 6. We know that there is a direct correlation between turnout and negative messaging. Shouldn't Minnesotans at least be given the knowledge of who is generating these materials? League of Women Voters Minnesota urges you to support House File 2727. We believe in providing as much transparency in our election process as possible, and by requiring disclosure of electioneering communications, Minnesota will be keeping up to pace with election campaigns as conducted in the 21st century and giving voters the information that they need. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this House file? Seeing no one rushing down to the table, we'll move on to member questions and discussion. Are there any member questions or discussion? Ma'am, do you wish to testify?
My name is Ann Jones. I just learned about this hearing yesterday, and I wanted to come to support the idea of accountability and transparency in money and elections. I too favor public financing of elections ultimately, and I think this bill would be at least a small step toward some accountability. What came to my mind when I heard about this hearing is a personal experience that I had in the school board race in Minneapolis in 2014, where toward the end of the election process, it was for at-large school boards, an incumbent was running, two endorsed candidates were running, and all of a sudden money flooded in for a third candidate, and it was learned during the race, or during the process of campaigning by the endorsed candidates, that money was coming in from an outside organization with an agenda for school education processes in Minnesota, quote-unquote school reform. By the name of the organization on the literature that started coming out, negative television ads, negative campaign literature, you couldn't tell by the name of the organization on the bottom what their agenda really was. And when you dug a little bit into one of the press organizations in Minneapolis, dug into it and found out that money was coming in from out of state, including $100,000 from Michael Bloomberg in New York City. So I think Minnesota could do a lot better to put some controls around this. And I urge that we press forward on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And just for the record, this House file would only apply to constitutional and legislative offices moving forward as it is written now. All right, with that, we will move into member questions and discussions. Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And first off, I'd like to ask for a roll call on this.
Roll call has been requested.
And Mr. Chair, we hear a lot, we've heard a lot in this committee about different bills about transparency in the process of all sorts of things of government. And I think this is the ultimate, and this bill would be the ultimate in transparency for our elections, because, you know, the Citizens United has said that money is speech and people should be able to use their money to put their message forward, but oftentimes people don't know where that money's coming from. At times they call it dark money. I think she's Representative Halverson used the term sham ads, but it's, you know, if people know where the money's coming from, most people are intelligent enough in our state to be able to look and say, well, that's coming from this side, so that's what, this is what they're trying to do, and this money's coming from these people, this is what they're trying to do, and they can figure out where they want to go on it. I've had people in the past that have expressed to me that we should have unlimited spending in the state of Minnesota on elections, just make sure that everyone knows who's putting the money up. And again, this I think this constitutional amendment, this bill would go a step in that direction to make sure that we as citizens know who's funding our ads, and then we can make intelligent decisions going forward.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Any other member questions or discussion? Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And a couple questions for Representative Halverson regarding the proposed bill. First of all, Representative Halverson, what's the status in the Senate on this?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, I don't believe that it's been heard in the Senate.
And Mr. Representative Chair, O'Driscoll,
procedurally, can you walk through, does the Senate also have to have a bill that's passed in order for this? The House doesn't unilaterally have the ability to put something on the before the vote is in the ballot in November, is that correct?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair, that is certainly correct. I think that we are doing a disservice to our citizens of our state by not acting on this, and if the House took action, it would move our position forward considerably, and the citizens of Minnesota would appreciate us moving forward on this issue.
Mr. Chair. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Halverson, as I review Section 1 of the bill, which is what would go into our Minnesota Constitution, and I know that both sides have had very heavy concerns in the past about working with our U.S. our Minnesota Constitution and putting out constitutional amendments before us, and I know that there's already going to be one constitutional amendment that was placed that will be placed before the voters that deals again with something that the legislature that affects the legislature, where the governor will have an opportunity to weigh in on more what the pay is going to be for legislators. And the reason I bring that up is the language that I see here versus the language that I see as can be put before the voters doesn't tell the whole story for voters as to what the amendment does. If I'm not mistaken, the previous constitutional amendment had a name on there, a label that people will see, say to something to the effect that says, stop legislators from raising their own pay, or something, I may be paraphrasing a little bit, which is kind of an inflammatory. So if I look at this, this pairs down and says, oh, okay, in Section 2. When you look back at Section 1, it certainly implies a lot more than what the voters are going to be looking at. Can you explain why you chose the words to put before the voters that would be different than what's in Section 1?
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first off, I would like to say that I would prefer not to do this by constitutional amendment. The inaction of the state legislature and the fact that special interests have been so effective in making sure that this bill is either voted down or doesn't get a hearing is very concerning to me, and it's concerning to the people of Minnesota. Again, this cuts across all political spectrums. But Section 2 does not say anything that is misleading or incorrect when it comes to what the underlying bill says. The question put to the voters is, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to require public disclosure of contributions and expenditures for communications made within a reasonable proximity to an election that clearly identify a candidate, communications that expressly advocate for or against a candidate, and communications that could be interpreted by a reasonable person as advocating the election or defeat of a candidate for office? That's the question to the voters. Shall disclosure be required as it is among candidates and other political organizations as it's currently stated in the Constitution? Shall we add additional organizations that are spending money to influence an election with this particular criteria that we are putting upon it? So the fact is, Representative O'Driscoll, is that people could spend outside money on elections several months prior to an election. And in fact, that happened in my district, strangely enough, during the last campaign. They were sending out dark money ads against the senator that lives in my district, even though the person wasn't on the ballot. So this stuff goes on year-round, in and out of election years. This is why the consumers and the public want to know who are funding these ads, because it seems a bit ridiculous to be getting campaign ads 9 months before an election, 2 years before an election, for an election that is essentially local. We're running to represent our communities where we live.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Halverson, when you took the time to read what was in Section 2, I noticed that you omitted a couple of words, and this was one of the things that the Chair had talked about as well. And that's in the final line on here, 2.8 to 2.9, defeat a candidate for office is what you said, and you skipped over for state office. And I want to once again remind people that the Chair said that this amendment would deal with state offices and constitutional offices, and that there is no confusion as there was by one of the testifiers or some misinformation or clarification that we were making on that. Mr. Chair, I do have another follow-up question.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Representative Halverson, have other states adopted such a constitutional amendment or modified their constitution to this nature?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, I'm not familiar with other constitutional amendments. I also don't know if other state constitutions deal with campaign spending and disclosure as the Minnesota state constitution does. So I think it really depends on the way that other states deal with other types of campaign spending in their constitutions. And I have yet to read other states' constitutions. I have read Minnesota's constitution.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Halverson, I guess one of the other things that I question is if we put this in as a constitutional amendment, would there then also need to be state laws and organizations within or agencies within the state of Minnesota that would need to monitor whether this is happening or not? And would that be something that would be in addition to the processes that we have in the state right now in the way of campaign finance board and our current disclosures that we have?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Driscoll, again, I think that it would be delightful if the state of Minnesota would pass a law and not have to put this to the voters and put this in the state constitution. But I think the value of clean campaigns is important enough to the people of Minnesota that they would like the opportunity to vote on it if their legislators won't. To your question about the procedures, you know, there are other bills that have been floated and other procedures that have been floated in this legislature regarding what the underlying legislation might look like with regard to this constitutional amendment, because it will certainly need legislative action, and it would be up to the legislature to decide what it is. We do definitely have a campaign finance board that governs our activities with regard to campaigns, that provides the information to the public about who is spending what with regard to what's required to be disclosed. And so it would be my assumption that the legislature would choose to have the campaign finance board also receive these disclosures as well.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Halverson, you and I have been on this committee or a rendition of this committee when it's been in Republican hands. Republicans have controlled the House. It's been government operations and elections. And when the Democrats had it, it was government operations and a separate committee with elections. So you and I have had some history on being on the committee together. In the 13-14 biennium, when the constitutional amendment that's going to be before the people, where again I indicated that the way that the structure is set up, it allows the governor to appoint a commission that will in essence determine what legislator salaries are going to be, because that was something that the legislature over the years has grappled with. Why wasn't this brought up during that time when there was more opportunity for one party to be able to advocate for those kinds of constitutional amendments?
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm sure that you recall that there was a vote on something similar, not exactly this type of disclosure, but getting to the same point, that the people of Minnesota deserve to know who are funding outside influencers when it comes to campaigns within our state. And at that time, the legislation passed out of committee, but did not have full support on the House floor. And the reason is very simple. Special interests are that powerful in Minnesota. And it really shows how effective dark money is. And just a couple weeks ago when I attempted to amend a bill, we all got a letter on our desk from a special interest group stating that if the special interest group that has nothing to do with elections, by the way, stating that if you support my amendment, even a procedural motion to allow it to come to a vote, it would be quote-unquote scored, which anybody who runs for office knows that. Those scores are then sent out to organizations, can be used with other types of ad and election communication. Essentially, I look at it as it's a threat to the body. Don't vote your conscience. Don't vote for what's right for your community. Vote for my special interest. And that's what we're trying to get to. And the fact that we got that on our desks And the fact that I heard from an organization that said, you know what, we think you're awesome. I think you've done a really good job. Can't support you, though, because you support the disclosure of dark money in campaigns. Shows how powerful dark money in campaigns is. It's time for Minnesota to shine this light.
Mr. Chair. Representative O'Driscoll.
There may be other member questions, and I'll just end with this, and maybe later I'd have some other questions. But Representative Halverson, I would hope that members would take into consideration the interests that people have, but that legislator, that elected official, will have to make the decision that they are comfortable with, and that's how I look at and view those kinds of things. I don't let outside people tell me what to do when I'm casting my vote. Thank you.
Representative Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that it's very revealing, as the woman from the League of Women Voters said, that this bill is actually small potatoes. It's a constitutional amendment, and it's small potatoes because it just tells who, public disclosure of who is behind the money. It does nothing to change the huge influence. You've probably all seen the ads for different prescriptions on television filled with all the disclosure. Oh, be careful, this might actually kill you. But still, it works. It actually influences people to go out and get that particular drug. So disclosure is a small step. We have a huge problem with the flood of money. I've been so proud of our clean campaigns in Minnesota since I got elected back in 06 because of our campaign finance board. It's a campaign finance board. It's regulations about the expenditures of money in our campaigns to keep it clean. And now Citizens United has unleashed a flood of money that is even overwhelming our processes here in Minnesota. It is very discouraging, and as I said, this is a small step, but we have to move.
Representative Seltzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Halverson, for bringing this bill forward. I am not running again, but I am from one of the highly competitive swing districts where a lot of this dark money goes. And I can tell you from experience that these issue pieces, quote-unquote issue pieces, are campaign pieces that are advocating for or against a particular candidate. Because many people would call me, or as I door knocked, would say, oh, I got this piece against you saying not to vote for you. So that is how they're intended, and that is how they're interpreted. And the constitutional amendment that you're bringing forward just levels the playing field. Just as I and all other candidates have to report contributors who contribute more than a certain dollar amount, their name, their address, even where they work, so that was public, so too would this constitutional amendment shine that light of transparency on these campaign expenditures so that people know who are bringing forward these ads that are often misleading. So I just want to thank you for your courage and encourage my fellow members to vote for this piece of legislation.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Halverson, what do you see as the actual effects of this bill should the question pass?
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Fenton. That's a very good question. So if this passed and went on the ballot and the voters approved it, what we would have is a direction from the Constitution for the legislature to write underlying legislation with how we would carry out this process. And there are, as I've said, proposals that are already out there in the legislature that tells exactly how we could do this and how we could require that disclosure. The ultimate effect would be that groups that want to come into Minnesota or want to come into our communities to put out what they call issue ads would be required to disclose where their funding sources are coming from. And just like we do with our campaigns, just like political parties do, just like other political organizations do. If you're participating in political advertising, you have to play under the same rules.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Halverson, so you mentioned that this would require the legislation, enacting legislation, following the approval. So can you, as the chief author of this constitutional amendment, could you tell us what you would propose as a legislator of this state?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fenton, I think that we would, you know, have to come together and work together as legislators to decide what that would look like. I think that we want to ensure that interests are balanced, that disclosure is provided in a way that protects the speech of individuals, protects the speech of organizations, and other states have done that very effectively. Legislation that I have introduced could do that effectively as well without a constitutional amendment. However, because of the interest of the people of Minnesota in seeing our campaigns run with integrity and transparency, we are in this position now of considering putting this to the voters to see if, and my suspicion is it does rise to the value, a value that's so ingrained in Minnesotans that they could see this ingrained in our Constitution to require disclosure all across the spectrum of political advertising, not just carving out a small piece of requiring disclosure.
Representative Fenton.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative Halverson. So previously when this has come forward, I believe there was implementation legislation already with this. Do you have implementation legislation drafted?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fenton, I do not, because it would have to come forward in another legislative session.
Representative Fenton.
Have you worked with both Republicans and Democrats on what things might look like, because previously and there's an understanding that most all of our campaign finance elections legislation should have broad bipartisan support. So have you worked with Republicans, Democrats, campaign finance?
Representative Halverson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Fenton, I have co-authored or authored bills on campaign finance disclosure ever since I came to the legislature, and every time those were brought forward, any challenges, questions, ideas for improvements were always put forward on the table as a welcome, and the invitation has been open in this committee or other iterations to improve the legislation. As folks have had concerns, I have said repeatedly, let's see what we can do to work on those concerns. And I had made changes to the bill from the previous author's version to another version to address some of those concerns that we heard with the previous version of the bill. So it certainly has the ability to be changed and amended. And actually, that's why doing this through legislation instead of a constitutional amendment could be a better process. However, nobody has come to me in a problem-solving mode. The only interest that there has been in this legislation is to make sure that it hasn't gotten a hearing. And it's too important to the state of Minnesota. The concerns of our citizens are too important to let this not be addressed by the legislature.
Representative Fenton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Halverson, and Representative Seltzer, thank you for sharing your story. But I do want to reiterate again that as this amendment is written, it only pertains to state elected office.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Halverson.
If anybody would like to amend the constitutional amendment, amend the language to include local offices, I think that that would be something I'd be very open and welcome to. It's very clear from the testimony that we just heard that the trickle-down is happening. We used to just see this kind of spending in national and statewide elections, and now we're seeing millions of dollars in local our legislative elections, and it definitely is clearly trickling down that we're seeing outside money in local elections. It's kind of shocking to me. That's about the community. Let's keep it about the community.
Any other member questions or discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I noticed that your letter is in here, Representative Halverson, and you cited House Rule 4.31 as a reason to bring this bill forward. And I would just thank the Speaker of the House and you, Mr. Chair, for agreeing to have a hearing on this. There are a lot of bills right now that all of us sitting around the table would like to have heard, and we didn't bring forward you know, this request. And so I would only hope that when the tables are turned, if they are in the future, and we're in the minority and we have a bill that we have deeply held beliefs about and believe that the state people in the state of Minnesota share our concerns, that the minority party now, if they're in the majority sometime, would honor our request under the same rule 4.31 allowing us to have a hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Rumbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hellerson, how concerned would you be if the outcome of this whole process with the disclosure, that it actually chilled speech, that there was less speech, people actually, because of the intimidation of the exposure, I mean, some topics are just plain unpopular, but people need to understand them, and there needs to be speech. So if the ultimate result is less speech, how would you feel about that?
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Runbeck. First of all, looking at what has happened in other states with regard to requiring disclosure, we have not seen that effect. Additionally, it's very clear from the Citizens United decision and the justices who wrote the majority opinion in Citizens United that disclosure of campaign expenditures is a reasonable expectation by the public. The First Amendment is precious in our society. The First Amendment makes no promises for you to be able to make statements without being accountable for your statements. And there are times when we have to stand up and have courage. A lot of people do talk about sometimes it takes some courage to stand up for issues and say things that you believe in. And we all know that not everybody's going to agree with us, and we've had some spirited debates, and it's taken courage for people to stand up and talk about what they believe in. And we do it, and we do it because we're elected to do it. The people who are influencing our elections, if they are so moved by an issue, if they are so moved by a candidate that they are going to use their precious free speech to support or oppose that candidate, have an obligation to the public to be accountable for what they say. And the fact is that a lot of what they say isn't true. And that's one of the most frustrating things that the public sees, is the confusion. And so it's not about standing on your soapbox in town square and saying, I believe, and this is important to me. These ads, the way that they come off, are hiding behind the guise of an issue and very often misleading the public. And there are numerous examples throughout our campaigns in this state that we could cite. We've all seen them. The public has seen them. The public doesn't want to be confused. The public doesn't want to not know who is spending money to influence campaigns. They can feel it, right? They can feel there's more money coming into campaigns. They don't know where it's coming from, and that's troubling to the public.
Well, Representative Rumbach.
Mr. Chair and Representative Halverson, obviously this is a lethal weapon, some would feel, because of the opportunity to target and to call out people, to go to their homes, to make this freedom we have to speak under different auspices, but speaking, to make it so dangerous that people won't do it. So I mean, I think that's the big concern, and we've seen it happen. To me, that's not American. Thank you,
Representative Halverson. Since you're proposing a constitutional amendment here, let's discuss some of the constitutionality of that and. There has been a lot of Supreme Court cases that have dealt with this issue. Are you familiar with the NAACP versus Alabama court case and that decision?
Mr. Chair, no, I'm not.
So in that court case, in that Supreme Court decision, and I can read from the decision, this is where the state was attempting to collect the names and the affiliations of those that were attempting to join or affiliate themselves with the NAACP, and the Supreme Court said compelled disclosure of affiliation with groups engaged in advocacy may constitute an effective restraint on freedom of association. So not only do they are they talking about freedom of speech, but also the right to associate, which is also a precious constitutional right that we have. So what are your thoughts on that when the Supreme Court has spoken on this issue?
Mr. Chair, the Supreme Court has clearly spoken on speech and advocacy in numerous ways, and I think the most recent way is that they have said unequivocally that disclosure is constitutional. And not only is it constitutional, but it's something that the people deserve. And that's a pretty striking statement within the frame of Citizens United. The decision that gave us the decision that money is speech, that the decision that gave us took away any limits that we can have on outside money. However, they said within all of that outside money that we are going to allow to flow into campaigns, disclosure is a reasonable expectation of the people. And so the Supreme Court has spoken very clearly directly on this issue, not on, and so if, you know, and we have no constitutional scholars or lawyers on our team anymore. We used to have the constitutional people. But if a case was going to be brought up with regard to limits on free speech, there's no doubt that the Minnesota legislature can write the underlying legislation. And as I said, we could do this through legislation if people were so moved. And write legislation that clearly has met the test of free speech, and that's what we have in another bill that I'm carrying. So it's something that the courts have weighed in on, and that we as a legislative body, if we pass a constitutional amendment, if it's approved, have the ability to draft the underlying legislation to address those very issues. In addition, we've been very clear within this constitutional amendment to call out the fact that people, organizations who communicate with their members and their members are not considered part of express advocacy. So membership and affiliation is something that through my legislation as well as in this constitutional amendment we have tried to protect. If the chair or others think of a better way to get to that protection, it's certainly something that we could work on in the underlying legislation.
Well, Representative Halverson, I think the Supreme Court has spoken quite a bit, and our Constitution certainly does not supersede the United States Constitution, nor would it supersede Supreme Court case law. And to that point, yes, disclosure may be there, but protecting the free speech of the individual donors is something that is of grave concern on the right and the left across the entire spectrum. There's a decision out of the Central District Court of California just last month where they put a permanent injunction on collecting the names of individual donors. So this is a very real discussion. It's a very timely discussion to that point. Not only can they not disseminate who those donors are, the court has ruled you are not allowed to collect the names of individual donors. So this certainly would face many different constitutional challenges. I will say as well, yes, not all of us like the other side's special interest groups. But as American citizens, we have a constitutional right to address our government and lobby and petition our government. And through associations and through those so-called interests is one of the forms that we have at our disposal to constitutionally address and petition our state government. I would say one of the things that's disappointing to me as we've had this conversation today, we talk about how strong the special interest groups are, or if people have ideas to help fix your bills that they can approach you. But I will just say I've never once been personally asked to hear this House file from you. I've never personally been asked to hear any of your other disclosure bills. The lead Republican or the lead Democrat, the ranking Democrat on this committee, has never personally asked me ever for a hearing on this House file or any other disclosure House files. So while it is hopefully a collaborative place, and we certainly do need to have much more collaboration around this, this is something that if we were serious about, we would have been working on this to attain broad bipartisan support. That is the requirement that we've had for campaign finance and for election issues. Again, with the Senate not moving on this legislation either, a Democrat-controlled Senate, we certainly don't have a way to get this to the governor's desk this year. I see no reason to pass this bill. I would encourage everyone to continue to work on this next year, but certainly more work from everyone on every side of the table as we do look at how we are going to protect the free speech and the rights of those that contribute and those that donate. And we had also a very real example this year where donors to a particular presidential candidate were outed in a news, I don't even know if you want to call them a news publication, but a publication here. Even those that gave $19, probably just to get a free hat, right? Names disclosed in a newspaper. Is that something that we want to have further hand in when it comes to protecting the free speech and those that want to participate in the system? That is a very real question. I don't feel that this constitutional amendment is ready at all. And for that, members, I move to table the bill. Representative O'Driscoll.
I feel that I would be remiss if I didn't, for the record, because of the nature of this, make this statement. When we talk about constitutional amendments, they oftentimes can be challenged, and we can also be getting into a lot of money being spent and a lot of things. And this testimony today that we've heard from
Mr.
members
Chair,
and
Chair,
from...
Doesn't tabling mean no more discussion? Because if he's going to talk, I want to
talk. The motion itself is debatable, but we can't have other conversation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Sanders.
Aye.
Vice Chair Pugh.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Albright.
Aye.
Representative Fenton.
Aye.
Representative Halverson.
No.
Representative Lane.
No.
Representative Mullery. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Aye.
Representative Runbeck.
Aye.
Representative Seltzer.
No.
Representative Tice.
Aye.
Representative Joaquin.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
There being 10 ayes and 6 nays, House File 2727 is tabled. And members, with that, we are adjourned.